Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Vladimir Putin says it's unforgivable that U.S. President Joe Biden labeled him a war criminal. Let's get the very latest from our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Afternoon to you, Simon. This was an extraordinary turn of events. During a question-answer session with the president, he originally said he didn't call President Putin a war criminal and then said he did.
Yeah, I mean, it's very peculiar how you stumble into branding Vladimir Putin a war criminal, but that is what Joe Biden managed to do yesterday. Just to go back to yesterday, as we covered live here on LBC News, at around about this time yesterday, President Biden was unveiling $800 million in fresh expenditure on lethal weaponry for the Ukrainians. He was asked there whether, having described the civilian atrocities that the Russians are committing in Ukraine, he considered Vladimir Putin to be a war criminal, and he demurred. He said he wasn't going to take any questions, and he walked out of the room, accompanied by Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley. So there was some interest among reporters about this question, because President Biden had gone into detail accusing the Russians of attacking maternity hospitals, of going after schools and blocks of flats in various parts of Ukraine and targeting civilians quite clearly. So you would think that the logical extension of that claim would be to begin arguing that Vladimir Putin was a war criminal, especially given that his own U.S. ambassador to the United Nations has previously warned Russian forces not to commit war crimes. Later in the day, President Biden was holding another event, nothing to do with Ukraine. As he left it, he walked past a reporter who asked him whether he thought that Vladimir Putin had indeed committed war crimes. And President Biden's response to that question was no. But then he circled back to the reporter a few seconds later and said, "I'm very sorry, did you ask me if I thought that Vladimir Putin had committed war crimes?" And the reporter said, "Yes, I'm wondering if you think he's a war criminal." And at that point, Joe Biden said, "Well, yes, I do. I think he committed war crimes." And then he walked off. So this left Jen Psaki at the White House, the press secretary, holding her daily briefing about half an hour later to try and explain exactly what had gone on and how the United States government had found itself in a position where the President of the United States appeared to be extemporizing on an issue that under normal circumstances would follow an enormous degree of internal discussion and debate with input from various cabinet secretaries, including, of course, the Secretary of State, the Defense Secretary, the National Security Advisor, and yet Joe Biden appeared simply to have blurted it out.
The President's remarks speak for themselves. He was speaking from his heart and speaking from what he's seen on television, which is barbaric actions by a brutal dictator through his invasion of a foreign country. There is a legal process that continues to be underway at the State Department. That's a process that they would have any updates on.
Now, I'll let you into a secret. Anytime a White House press secretary says the president's words and comments speak for themselves, that means that the president has said something quite inconvenient as far as the press secretary is concerned, and she's not entirely clear how to explain it all away, especially given that those comments do have consequences. I mean, first of all, they raise massive questions over how there can be any kind of diplomatic engagement between the governments in Washington and Moscow, given that the President of the United States has indicated that he thinks Vladimir Putin and members of his inner circle almost certainly should be given a one-way ticket to The Hague. But it also raises questions about where are we in terms of the legal process and references to recommendations of war crimes charges being brought against Vladimir Putin and his top lieutenants. What President Biden did yesterday has hardened attitudes on Capitol Hill. Senator Ben Sasse is a moderate Republican from Nebraska.
We're supposed to believe that all 7.8 billion people on this globe are created with dignity in God's image, and we're seeing women and children and civilian populations targeted. I don't think we should ever, in the realpolitik conversation that you're rightly pointing us to, lose sight of what's happening to civilians there.
So he's absolutely backing the president's declaration that what's taking place in Ukraine does constitute war crimes. President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine also hardened some attitudes on Capitol Hill yesterday after that speech that he made yesterday morning here to a joint session of Congress, calling for the implementation of a no-fly zone, calling for the delivery of fighter jets to Ukraine, two issues that the United States government opposes because they worry that it'll be the slippery slope to a war between the United States and Russia, something President Biden has described as World War III. Well, President Zelensky won one supporter in the form of Senator John Cornyn, a Republican of Texas.
Where does the Biden administration get off saying, well, we'll give you this but not that, when people are trying to defend their very lives and their national sovereignty? We should not dictate from Washington, D.C. what sort of weapons they can get access to. Provide them everything they need in order to defend themselves and their country and defeat Vladimir Putin.
And there's some pressure in that regard now coming on the White House from Democrats. It's going to be interesting to see if those bipartisan efforts to try and persuade the White House to move forward and get fighter jets into the hands of Ukrainian pilots actually leads to any kind of change of heart over the next few days. But certainly that address by President Zelensky, I think, appears to have had an impact, Chris, on the lawmakers who heard it yesterday.
And Simon, what are this news breaking within the last hour that the president is going to speak with the Chinese president? China, pretty crucial, according to some security expert world leaders, for example, saying that China, the only country that are in a position to stop Putin.
Yeah, well, this is a big moment. This is going to be the first conversation between President Biden and President Xi for weeks. The White House put out a statement this morning saying that the conversation will occur tomorrow, saying this is part of our ongoing efforts to maintain open lines of communication between the United States and the PRC. The two leaders will discuss managing the competition between our two countries, as well as Russia's war against Ukraine and other issues of mutual concern. Now, what can we read into all of that? Well, first of all, this is absolutely going to be the first leader-level conversation between Washington and Beijing since the United States government claimed that the Russians had asked China for military support. And the United States warned the Chinese against doing anything to compensate Moscow for its military equipment losses on the Ukrainian battlefield. So clearly that's going to be a topic of conversation between these two men. President Biden will also want to sound President Xi out and get a sense of just how tightly he plans to ally himself, if at all, to Russian President Vladimir Putin. There have been some mixed signals on that, with China, for example, abstaining at the UN Security Council on a vote recently condemning the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But China earlier this week voting against, in other words, siding with Russia at the International Court of Justice, which was ruling that the Russian invasion of Ukraine was illegal. So there's definitely opaque lacking in clarity of precisely where China stands in all of this. President Biden will get the opportunity to try and navigate all of that. It's also interesting that they say they're going to discuss managing the competition between our two countries. We know that the Biden administration has been thinking about a possible softening of some of the Trump-era trade tariffs that were imposed on Chinese exports, imports into the United States. It'll be interesting to see if there's any movement on that tomorrow.
And a happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Simon. We know the Irish Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, in Washington to meet with Joe Biden, the US president. But even though they're in the same city, they're meeting virtually.
Yes, not a happy St. Patrick's Day for the Taoiseach, I'm afraid, because he has tested positive for COVID-19 after others in his entourage tested positive for COVID-19. He had a pretty active day on Capitol Hill yesterday, and I think there are some concerns about whether some of the people that he met may have been exposed to COVID-19, including the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi. But the annual shamrock ceremony that always takes place at the White House on St. Patrick's Day, underscoring the importance of Ireland in the United States, a country with a large number of Irish descendants, that has moved to a virtual ceremony. You could have argued the Taoiseach could have stayed at home and done it all from Dublin, but he's here instead. I don't quite know what happens to the shamrocks. I don't know how you were, I'm not quite sure how those are handed over virtually, but there must be some kind of plan for that. But he won't be meeting Joe Biden face to face today.
All right, Simon, thank you very much for that roundup. That's our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks, there live for us in Washington.
This is LBC.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.